Hello, everybody, and welcome to Comedy Film Nerds. I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and this is episode 238. We're going to be talking about a lot of movies, Big Hero 6, because someone saw a preview. We're going to talk about Listen Up, Philip, and also My Neighbor Totoro and the disturbing implications from that film. And also, we're going to talk about, I went to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights over the weekend. We got to talk about that.
Shazam.
And some cool DVDs and some interesting stuff coming out. And we got something really important coming up. November 2nd. This is an important show.
This is a very important show. We are going to be doing Comedy Film Nerds live at the Helium Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon, Sunday night, November 2nd, 7:30 show. Our guests are Jimmy Pardo and Jackie Cation, and it's sponsored by openprimaries.org.
Yes, it's something that we support. We have them in here in California, and guess what? The state hasn't ended.
Yeah, everything didn't collapse when independents got the right to vote.
Yeah, at least not because of that.
No, it's because the two parties have mismanaged the money for the last 30 years.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's great that a state...
Two-party system is great. It's great for everyone.
It's awesome. That's why a state...
And no term limits.
No, there's no
term limits. That's the other thing that's great.
Endless spending term limits.
Could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Why would a state with an economy the size of Germany's be having financial... couldn't be that idiots mismanaged it. Mm. Guys, vote yes on 90 if you're
in Oregon.
No, but the show is going to be great, you guys, in Oregon.
But just so you know, too, it's not going to be a political show. No. We're going to be talking about a lot of movies we didn't get to for the LA Podcast Festival show. It's still a fall/winter preview. Some Oscar movies, some great trailers we're going to be showing.
Yeah.
In addition to, we'll show the Earbuds trailer. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I added on the I didn't get your approval on this yet, but I think what I want to do is have a section of the show to have all four of us talk about our favorite movies of the year so far.
Oh, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. We'll go into some Oscar films. We'll get Jackie and Jimmy's what their favorite films are. I think I already know what Jackie's gonna say.
It's pretty sure.
Guardians
of
the Galaxy, mm-hmm. But it'll be great to hear talk about it again. We'll show maybe we'll show. Are we going to show a SWAT versus Devil?
Maybe a clip of that. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how many clips we can fit in there time wise.
If it hasn't already blown up your computer.
But it's going to be a really fun show, you guys. November 2nd in Portland. Come out.
And it's one night only. We're going to be there. Jackie and Jimmy, we're all going to be there just for one night for one show. And it's, we know it's a big podcast town, Portland. We love the town. We really want to see you guys come out to this.
It's awesome. And we love that club. Helium Comedy Club's awesome. And we're all flying in Sunday, doing the show, flying out Monday.
Yep.
And Chris and I will be doing... AM Northwest. Well, I'm doing it. I hope I can get you on it too. I didn't want to speak too soon. Sorry, I haven't confirmed that with the producers of the show yet, but you might be on TV. That's what we're doing. That is Sunday, November 2nd. And then November 15th, we are doing a Comedy Film Nerds stand-up comedy and short film show. We haven't done one of these in several years. At Inside Jokes Comedy Club, which is a part of the Chinese Theater 6 Screens, which is upstairs at the Chinese Theater. So we're going to be showing
Amazing
short films on a giant screen.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
We're going to be showing Rope-A-Dope by the stunt people with Eric
Jacobus.
We've
been talking about Rope-A-Dope. We've had Eric on the show before. So you guys want to see Rope-A-Dope on a giant screen in stadium seats.
Yeah.
Really awesome.
Great comedic martial arts short film. Oh. And then we just programmed Matt
Knutson.
Matt Knutson's short film.
So he's going to be doing stand-up, and he's going to introduce this movie Tag that we all just watched.
Yeah, we just watched and went, oh my God.
Wow. So there's going to be some awesome short films. And again, seeing short films on a big screen is a whole different experience.
And it's going to be mixed genres too. We have a great animated piece. We have a great, some great comedy ones, but there's also a thriller one. I think it's Last Call. I'll have to check again that Kimberly sent over. That's fantastic.
We haven't done one of these shows in a
while. Last Shot. That's what it is. Last Shot. Yeah.
We haven't done one of these shows in a while. Maybe because it's hard to find the right venue. And then the Inside Jokes approached us and we were like, this is perfect because it's just awesome. I think we're going to show Earbuds there too.
Oh, absolutely.
We should show Earbuds. So you can see Earbuds trailer on a big screen. If you didn't get to go to PodFest, if you're in LA, it's Saturday night, November 15th. It's a 10 o'clock show.
We'll have a couple comedians and a couple short films. Matt will definitely be there. He'll be doing a set and introducing the film. But it's going to be a great time. I want to stress this too. It's not like we're just kind of throwing up some sketch pieces up there. These are we work with Hollywood Shorts, Kimberly Browning, to get you guys the best shorts programming. These are short films in every sense of the word. They're well produced, they're well acted, and they tell stories.
Yeah,
and they're just feature films, but smaller. They're not like, you know, a one joke sketch that, you know, somebody made in their basement. There is a place for those.
Yeah,
but for a short film show and in the Chinese theater. Yeah. This is, we want to make it a cinematic experience for you guys.
It's a cinematic experience because you're going to get to see these movies as they were meant to be seen.
Right. As they play at festivals.
On a 40-foot screen with great sound, you know, and it's
and they deserve it.
And they deserve it. So it's going to be very cool. So check that out. Well, why don't we, maybe we introduce our very,
very special guest.
Very special guest.
First time on the program.
First time on the program.
Brought us persimmons.
Brought us persimmons. She showed up with fruit, like any good Japanese person shows up with gifts. We have done Ice House Chronicles together a couple times.
Yes.
A very funny stand-up comic. Ladies and gentlemen, Aiko Tanaka.
Hi.
Hello. you're our second Japanese guest.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That's it.
Yeah.
Sanae?
Yeah, she's an actress.
No, Sanae. Yeah. Sanae's an actress. Yeah. She's a beautiful leading lady. No, Sanae Narita is, she's just a fan of ours that lives in Japan. But we'll go with that. You hear that, Sanae? You're an actress. So Sanae's got some upcoming projects.
She's had another Japanese guest on, but I can't think of them right now.
Well, we've had Suzy Nakamura, but I mean, from Japan. Like, we've had Asians and all different races on the show. Like, this is like,
not all different.
Not yeah. Keep it white.
Yeah.
Keep the White House white. I mean, someone grew up and is from Japan.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
So Aiko
qualified to be in Tokyo Drift.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later. She was in Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. But how long have you, you've been in LA a while doing comedy.
Yeah.
What brought you over here from Japan?
I went to Boston because I really like New Kids on the Block.
Did you know we have had Joey McIntyre on the show?
Yes, I searched it. I was like, wait, is this like meant to be? Like, universe is crazy. I was like, wow.
So you searched us online and saw Joey McIntyre?
Yeah.
He's crazy. A nice guy.
And
he's saying happy birthday to our other Japanese guest, Sanae.
Wow. Yeah. That is incredible.
So you went to Boston just to see the New Kids on the Block?
And I went to school.
Oh.
And
you wanted to go to a university close to where the New Kids are.
Yeah, I wanted to meet them.
This is when you were what? 14 or 15.
It's like right after like a high school. Aww. And I was like, I want to meet them. And when I went there, people in Boston are usually like ugly. So.
Not in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Well. Come on. Some of those people in the bar scenes, let's call it what it is. So the people in Boston were ugly.
Yeah. And I was disappointed.
And not all of them could sing.
Yeah, exactly. And I was still by to my friend in LA, and I went to Beverly Center, and it blew my mind. I was like, I should move here. So, yeah.
So you did that after college? Or?
I dropped out the college. I couldn't
keep
up.
What was your major?
I tried to do theater, but I didn't speak English. So,
so you just always did kabuki? showed up with the blocks and doing kabuki.
Yeah, it was like really overwhelming and I couldn't understand. Like, I did good in college 101, but that was it. Like, I failed at math and everything else.
And then when did you start doing stand-up?
Maybe 5 years ago. And I wanted to do martial art. I do nunchak.
Oh, wow.
And like, there's not a place to show off your skill. But in comedy, you can perform. I'm like, oh, I don't mind it.
Have you ever done nunchucks in
routine?
Stand up?
I don't have opportunity to, but I would love to.
You should put it into your act.
There's got to be some way to work it in.
I know how to do. I've studied that. I've studied karate and nunchucks, and I
love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we should do some kind of show together.
Yes.
For sure. I did this one time.
A demonstration, perhaps?
We hosted a show at the UCB back when it was Comedy Death Ray, and I was the MC, and we called it Joke Jitsu, and I would MC with Tim Bennett, and I called him, he was my assistant Hawk, and I would like break boards.
Were you in a gi?
Yeah, we were in gis, and I had nunchucks that you could put... glow in the dark, like
sticks
in.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah,
we should do some show like that.
Love to do that.
That'd be awesome. You studied martial arts for a long time.
Yes, taekwondo and judo. I'm not good at judo because they drag you on the floor, and then I was not that good. But
so, as a Japanese person, is it difficult for you to study a Korean martial art like taekwondo? Or why did you choose a Korean martial art as opposed to a Japanese one?
Because I just
to get back at your father.
It's really good point because my
this is for you, Dad.
Yeah, my dad is partial Korean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. He's quarter Korean, so he has a big head too.
So you just wanted to learn how to kick your dad's big head?
Yeah, aim it right.
Okay, cool. So then. So you've been doing stand-up for 5 years. You perform a lot. Where? The Comedy Store?
Comedy Store a lot, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been on the road much?
Vegas, San Fran a lot, San Diego. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Driving distance.
Right.
Yeah.
Never plane distance.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, let's
get into some of these films. I'm very excited. My whole family is very excited to see Big Hero 6, and you went to a little... extra premiere screening.
A little special thing. Mm-hmm. TJ Miller, who's been on the show in the past and I think will be on again. Mm-hmm. Big Hero 6 comes out November 7th, I believe, is the release date. Mm-hmm. So I was in contact with him and he said, hey, it was kind of last minute this Sunday that he goes, we're having a friends and family screening at Disney Animation to see this. Would you be up? I'm like, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
So... a friend was in town visiting, so we went to this and it was really cool. Saw Ken Jeong there, who I haven't seen in a long time, mm-hmm. and joked with him. He used to do this bit, Ken, when we would like hang out at the Improv. He would always act like he was the number one Asian agent. So he'd walk up to me and scream into his cell phone. Usually he'd have like a wallet or something. It wouldn't even be a real cell phone, going, look, if you want Ray Dong Chong, you're going to have to pay for it. So I saw him like doing that again. That marina's not cheap. So it was really cool to see him. And Doug Benson was there and TJ. And first of all, and the director spoke briefly a little bit beforehand, mm-hmm. and it was a 2D version of it, which was really good. And he said the technology they use in this one is an improvement upon, how did he phrase it? But it's a newer version of like stuff they used for Frozen in terms of the technology. And it's very cinematic. It looks awesome. And it's based on a comic. So it was part of Marvel. And there's a scene in...
I didn't know it was based on a comic.
Yeah, it is. I believe a Japanese comic.
Oh, okay. Huh.
And so the city it takes place in is called San Francisco, Tokyo. It's like San Francisco and Tokyo combined.
Mm-hmm. San Fran, Tokyo or something.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. San Fran, Okio or something. Yeah. That was really cool. And you know, TJ's got a pretty big part in it. And so the director was explaining the process going, you know, it took about 3 years to make this film.
Oh, easily. Wow. Those movies take forever.
And also before TJ gave a couple of us, he goes, you guys want a little private tour through Disney Animation?
Oh, so cool.
So there's all this cool stuff on the walls. They're like, you can't take pictures. There's a security mm-hmm. guard with us and everything. So, which was really cool. And what they do in the actual offices, when they're working on a film, the animators, they theme out the whole corner of the building.
Oh, wow.
Is all themed out. Mm. Like,
to the current production.
To the current production. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, this used to be whatever, two pictures ago, like not like over there was
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're like, this was Wreck-It Ralph.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then Frozen was over here, so that everyone working on it is completely submerged in the world, which is just such a cool, cool idea. And then the break room, like the employee like break room where there's food and snacks, they have it set up with some of the props and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Well, they're not props from the movie because it's animated, but
yeah. Like, oh, no, they do modeling.
Yeah, exactly. So they do all the modeling in there, and you're just like, man, is this really cool? And they took us into a room where this is where, though, the mouse, Mickey's hat, which is in the building in Burbank, and you can kind of look up, and all the lights are Mickey Mouse ears and stuff that. So it was just really, that's the kind of vibe we had before you go into it. And then these screening rooms at studios, everybody, are
state of the
perfect.
Art. Yeah, yeah.
So the sound, the seats were really comfortable, and the sound is just so crisp.
The other thing is that people don't know, when you're in a screening room too, there's actually a console inside there. You can actually control, like not only talk to the projector, the projectionist, but you also have controls for like sound. So a lot of times when they're mixing and like, oh, well, let me, you know, they could literally have a little, like there's one at Chaplin where you go and you sit next to the booth and you can control like literally what you're hearing. It's amazing, these rooms.
Awesome. Yeah, the guy was there at this table, not in the projection booth, but a whole table with all these computer screens and everything, doing all that. It was just, it was really cool. And it's a really fun movie. You know, Disney knows what it's doing with these movies, and they do cool stuff because it's a Marvel property. There's little Marvel
Easter eggs
in actually T.J. Miller's character's room. He has a lot of action figures, and there's a lot of like obscure Marvel characters in there. It was really cool, and you know, it has a great message, of course. It was just a lot of fun, and it
looks like a really fun movie.
And they were talking, the director was talking before the film about how great it was to work with TJ and comics in general, because he goes, we let him riff, and you can tell there's a lot of scenes in there where he just was riffing,
right?
You know, so it was really cool. It's a great film. I recommend it highly, and maybe we'll do a spoiler ep on it.
Absolutely. I think that sounds like a splendid idea.
A splendid idea. Maybe we'll try to get TJ in here to talk a little more about it.
Oh, that'd be great.
So yeah, that was
awesome. Well, sounds like it was a fun time at the movies.
It was good. I like Big Hero 6.
I did not have a fun time at the movies. I saw Listen Up, Philip. And this was a movie I was actually excited to see because it was one of those stories that it's an excellent trailer, by the way. Now, the thing about Jason Schwartzman is a lot of times when you have movies like Rushmore, he plays kind of this unlikable character sometimes, but there's also a real charm to it. So you still are kind of empathetic and you really want to root for him even though he's kind of an asshole.
Right.
Now, if you take that charm out and you just left the asshole, you'd have Listen Up, Philip. And then,
so all asshole.
Yeah, all asshole, but also.
If you're in for full boat asshole.
This is it. And the movie is so amateurly put together. And it's really fascinating to watch, like, because you've got some really talented actors in it. You also have, that pedigree of, like, the New York story, and he's a novelist. It's set up like a Woody Allen movie. It really is, but it fails so miserably on every level, everywhere from character to plot to even directing. Even the directing is poor. Like, you see these actors giving their all, but you could tell they're, like, poorly directed. Like, they're not interacting properly. The story progression isn't there. It's everything that's kind of a mess with these new indie, and this is a problem right now with indie movies, which is a shame. They're like these weird, like, it's almost like hipster. Everyone's trying to get hipster cred on their indie movie. So it's like, yeah, we're going to have this, you know, likable bastard as the character. And then we're not really going to worry about plot or story or character. And like, no, then you make a horrible movie.
Right.
and they're all labeled. And you know what that label is? Tribeca. Tribeca releases all of these terrible movies. Right. I talked to Kimberly about it too, because they sent us like the release list because they're distributing movies. And I said, what, these movies are all horrible. What are they doing? And Kimberly literally shook her head and goes, I don't know what they're doing over there. But everything, so, and whenever I see like the Tribeca Film Festival logo come up first, now I know, oh God, maybe I don't want to see this movie. It's gotten so bad. But this is the type of film that you want to avoid. But again, great trailer. It tricked me. But you can't have a movie where someone is an asshole all the way through, and then you make, not only is the movie amateurishly put together, you have this infuriating voiceover of like the inner dialogue of the characters by Eric Bogosian. Again, it's all of this great New York acting pedigree that is completely wasted on this film. In fact, there's another great actor in it too, who plays like the novelist mentor.
Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah, Jonathan Pryce, who is completely wasted. Kristen Ritter is in it and tries to do something with the character that they give her nothing to do. She's in a couple of scenes. I'm like, oh, what's going to happen with this character? Oh, we never see her again. Fantastic. So
I really liked her too in Breaking Bad. She was great.
She's actually a very good actress. And
Elizabeth Moss.
She's great in it too. And then the movie also, all of a sudden, it does like all of the voiceover him, because it focuses on him. Jason Schwartzman's character is this dissatisfied novelist who is a complete asshole, but you can tell he's like, he has trouble with relationships and dealing with other people. Okay, that's great. That is fertile ground for an interesting movie. But if you only show him being an asshole in every scene, you give me literally nothing to enjoy in the film at all.
Yeah, when they do that, you're like, this guy's just a dick. You're just like, well, then why the fuck am I watching
this?
There's something else I could be doing.
There's got to be something else about this character that makes him interesting or something to watch. Something that makes me want to watch him. Like, Breaking Bad is a great example. I mean, you know, you see Walter White. He was a criminal. You know, a hardened criminal by the end of it, but you never could turn away.
Right.
It was always an interesting character.
There was always something going on with him.
Right.
Emotionally or whatever.
Exactly.
Wow, there was some human thing to it.
What if that show was just him being a dick in every scene? it would be unwatchable. You couldn't watch it.
Right.
So,
it would be that dumb lawyer show.
Or any dumb
Suits.
Lawyer show. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That stupid show.
Yeah. So it's really.
But I can't watch on planes.
Yeah.
I'm on a plane and they play Suits, and I'm like, ugh.
Oh,
fuck,
man. You like want to just try to turn your chair? Sir, it's bolted to the floor. I don't care. I can't watch this anymore.
Go through Sky Mall again. Get some cat shaped drink koozie. Yeah.
And some free soap.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
So this movie was a real wasted opportunity. And
so read the Sky Mall magazine.
Yes, read the Sky Mall magazine instead of Listen Up, Philip. It's one of those New York pretentious art house hipster movie that if you like it, you're an asshole.
This is a guy with a bike riding a single speed. This is a guy with a beard on a single speed bike without a helmet and a messenger bag.
Yeah, now it's that's exactly what it is.
Find me someone on a single speed bike that A is wearing a helmet and B isn't some fuckbag with a beard and skinny jeans.
Right, exactly.
They never have a backpack.
Yep.
I ride my bike all the time. Yeah. It's the same fucking guy.
It really is. And it's okay. I get it. You're dissatisfied. You're a tortured, troubled artist. Okay, now what? Oh, you're going to be like that in every scene, and it's
fucking helmet. And
it's so weird that you're you can't hold a relationship together. That's so weird. And then
I don't give a shit.
Yeah. The other thing that infuriates me about these types of movies is too, the women are always those codependent, like, oh, but I love him anyway. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
And it takes, finally, when we see, I think it's Gretchen Mol, we finally see her character. You know, finally reject him and reach her independence. It's like it's too little, too late. That took too long. Right. Like, get there quicker, because you would have. Mm. You really would have. So it's one of those things where it's so amateurishly put together, and it's such a waste of great acting talent, because, you know, I can't fault any of the actors. They all did an amazing job with what they had to work with. But I definitely avoid this whole genre of indie, low-budget, hipster, New York, vapid storytelling.
There's nothing wrong with having
Tribeca.
A bike that has multiple speeds.
Yeah, it's great. You could go up a hill.
You could go up a hill. You don't have to be. And why are you wearing tight cords on a bike? yeah. to go to your hipster job.
Just make your delivery and yeah. then go back home.
Fucking wear a goddamn helmet. Are you yeah. stupid? You
hashtag.
Know what? Maybe it's better if you get your head yeah. knocked off. I want to see another goddamn yeah. beard.
Hashtag JGO.
He wore a helmet as
yeah,
a bike
he did.
Messenger.
He sure did. And he took it seriously.
Yeah.
No, he wanted to get that package there on time, but wasn't concerned
yeah.
with you know, mistreating women along the way.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So hashtag leave it.
Yes.
All right.
So hard now, leave it. This is a hard leave it.
This is a hard leave it. Hashtag hard leave it. All right. So Aiko, what was the movie that you saw? The Miyazaki film.
Tonari no Totoro. Oh, My Neighbor Totoro?
Yes, which yeah. is a classic children's film.
Yes.
That many children grew up with and loved, and it's beautiful, it's breathtaking, it's an amazing film.
So yeah.
This is a Miyazaki film that came out in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us now, you sent me an article
yeah.
about this is based on a pretty awful event that happened in Japan.
Yeah. So I watched it when I was a kid. I was like, oh, this is really like heartwarming movie. And I watched mm-hmm. it again and I Googled it. It came up that movie was like based on this rape that it was
and
like
murder.
Never. Yeah, right. murder was never solved. And then throughout the movie, like they'll say like the place... It was in the movie. It's exactly the same place that happened. Or like the cat bus. They have like the destination. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle, they were supposed to go to hospital. But mm-hmm. in the middle of it, it's just like a tombstone. Or like there's a
cemetery.
Lot of death. Yeah, yeah. There's like a death around the movie. And I didn't know that. And then the biggest thing everybody was talking about is on the end of the movie, there's two girls on the tree. And then their mom is like, I feel like they're watching me. And then on the tree, they have no shadow. So then they're like, oh, maybe they're suggesting that they become a ghost.
Wow. So, see, I never got that when I was watching that movie.
Me neither.
Now,
yeah.
Now, has Miyazaki responded to this?
He said it has nothing to do with it. But there's so many things throughout the movie that like unsolved that like rape thing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like by having a movie like that, their spirit like went to heaven. You know what I mean? Like, do you know? Like the girl was like killed. Mm-hmm. And then nobody solved it. But then he made a movie about it, about like them being happy and then going to a good place. Kind of like.
Oh, so he was kind of saying in the film
yeah.
that the girl, because wasn't there also a girl that committed suicide as a result of this?
Yeah. So it was a young girl who got like raped and killed. And then her bigger sister was like so heartbroken. So she killed herself. Mm-hmm. And right before that, she starts seeing like a big cat. It was like in
really?
An article. Yeah. And then Totoro is a cat and owl. So then they are saying that it's like a...
Those are all the forest spirits.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So I was like, wow, this is something else.
So you think your theory is basically that Miyazaki was saying these two girls went through this traumatic thing, but
yeah.
they actually are going to heaven. That's what the film is saying?
Yeah, kind of. It suggests it in the end because... Mm-hmm. Like happy ending in the movie,
right?
Like the real thing that happened was not happy, but in the film they went to heaven. Like you don't even know they're dead, but then there's like a little thing he did that's like, wait, are they like really alive or not, you know?
Because one of the themes of the film too is that the mother is sick in the hospital and
yeah.
the little girl needs comfort.
Yeah.
And she gets the comfort when she goes into the forest and meets the spirits. So there's a lot of really interesting things going on. And now I'm going to like, now I have to watch it again, of course, to see if I could see
you know,
a lot of this other stuff.
Having you turn me onto it. And then when you got me spirited away over the summer and mm-hmm. watching
yeah.
that, I was like, wow, it definitely is clear that his films are something that you need to watch multiple times.
Yes, mm-hmm. there's more going on than mm-hmm. just, you know, just a kid's movie.
Mm-hmm. When did you get first turned on to these films?
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just watched it because it's like fun to watch and there's
sure.
so many like cute stuff in it. But like it says like all his movie has backstory to it, like a message. Like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, then let's talk about the films that you've actually. Well, let's talk about some other Japanese movies that you really like. And then some of the movies you've done.
A lot of, I like violence.
That sounds so great how you say that.
Yes.
I like violence.
Yeah.
The way you say it, it's like you just said, I like chocolate.
Yeah, it's just really fun to watch. Because, like, you know, all the Japanese movie, like, Do you guys ever seen that Battle Royale?
Battle Royale, of course.
Oh, I love
yeah.
that movie.
The original Hunger Games.
Yeah. That, like, it's really great. Like, it's like no limit. And there's a part like this woman is chopping off somebody's penis and just really like fun to watch.
Not for me.
No, that just made me cringe right now.
Yeah. No guy wants to watch that.
But now, it's interesting, too, when you have cinema like that. If it was just mindless violence, the movies wouldn't do as well as they did. Well, but Battle Royale had more than that.
It was a big social commentary.
Big social commentary.
About, like, the youth gone wrong, and we need to... This is how we're going to straighten them out, kind of, basically what the movie was saying.
And it also had really interesting characters, too. Like, I remember watching it, and, you know, my wife came in, and she's like, what are you watching? And and then she sits down and, like, well, now I kind of want to know what happens.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
So we ended up watching the entire thing, and it was... it's brutal. It's a brutal film, but the commentary is great, and... Now, there was a sequel that got, like, critically maligned. Like, apparently the original filmmaker had nothing to do with it, too. So it was, but it was, like, one of those things, like, success, franchise. Yeah. No, you can't really franchise this.
Battle Royale.
No.
Yeah.
So what other films like that, I mean, ultra-violent movies do you like?
Ichi the Killer.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah, wow. Okay. Have you seen Versus?
No, what is that?
Versus is great. Bring it here. Graham, just bring up Versus and read the description of the film, and then you're both going to want to see it immediately.
Okay.
It's called Versus.
It's just called Versus, yeah. It might actually be like just VS. Oh. But it's a friend of mine turned me on to this movie, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's been tried to get remade in this country for years. Nobody wants to do it. Anyway, it's not even coming up. You might have an easier time finding it on Amazon. But basically what it is, it's a genre mashup. It's a combination of like ex-con, they meet up, he just is released from prison, they meet up in a forest, meets with... You know, the other ex-cons, it's a little vague on who everyone is, but because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Gets gunned down, gets back up because the forest is magical. So you have all these assassins, killers, and zombies and martial artists all going at it in this forest at the same time. It's so much fun. So if you can find it on IMDb, apparently it's not even on IMDb right now, but...
Yeah, Ichi the Killer, which is Shima Ike, who did...
Yeah. So, but if you ever get a chance to see Versus, I don't know if Netflix has
What's
it or not.
What's the Japanese title for Versus?
What does Versus mean? I don't know.
Like this
against.
Oh, Tekitai?
You know what? Pull it up on Amazon. I know it's there because they have the DVD. They had like an anniversary edition. But anyway, that's it. It's going to be you would really, if you like those movies, you will enjoy Versus.
Well, let me ask you this, Aiko. So why do you like those movies?
Yeah.
And why do you think, you know, Japan, which is this very nice side to its culture, can also then produce these?
I think our mind is very, like...
Repression?
Yeah, like the society. There's so many rules when you go to Japan. Mm-hmm. So
turn off the ringer, buddy.
That was actually the printer.
Go ahead, you guys can keep talking.
We're not editing this.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, when it's everything is very suppressed and like easy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because it's so repressed and you have to work. Like, that's the thing I noticed. And
yeah, we work from like maybe 6 a.m. until you come home at like 10.
Yeah.
And you party and go to work again. Like, some people used to die because overworking, and it will never happen here in this country.
Mm-hmm. No, we're all lazy. What, is that what you're saying?
No, but I remember seeing that, like, you would... Oh, here it is. Versus. Came out in 2000.
Huh. That's it. Read the description.
There are 666 portals that connect this world to the other side. They are concealed from all human beings. Somewhere in Japan exists the 444th portal, the Forest of Resurrection. Is that it?
That's it. Yep.
But no, that's interesting you say that, because I remember being in Tokyo, seeing that people just on the subways at like midnight, just drunk.
Yeah.
Like, can't stand up.
Yeah.
And talking with some friends who live there who were like,
to let off steam.
They work. They tell me the work schedule. I'm like, oh, I have to go to my boss's party. I have to serve drinks.
Yeah.
Because I'm a first year employee at this job. I was like, Jesus. Like, that sounds brutal. So that's where you think it is, because it's like such a strict society that people just rebel.
Yeah.
That you need crazy anime as well to blow off steam.
Yeah.
So what are some of these other films that you really
love?
Yeah.
I also like Audition.
Wow.
Why do you like Audition?
Just different kind of pain.
It's the same. You like the director.
I like him. Yeah. I think he make different, like, not, you know.
Did you see the musical one he did?
Musical one?
Yeah. Pull him up. I saw one at the Egyptian theater that was insane, and it was like a musical comedy about a set in a hotel, and it was called The Happiness of I can't remember now, but it's an insane movie, but I'll, you know what, somebody will email it to us and we'll put it on Facebook.
The Happiness of the Katakuris.
That's it. The Happiness of the Katakuris. It's an insane movie, but it doesn't have any of that staple, like blood, guts, and horror. It literally is. It's a musical set at a hotel.
A family moves to the country to run a rustic mountain inn when, to their horror, the customers begin befalling sudden and unlikely fates. The movie poster looks like Sound of Music.
Yeah, it's
Sound of Music.
It's partially a musical and. Yeah.
Well, let's get into then some of the films that you were in. You said you were in Fast and Furious Tokyo.
Tokyo Drift, yeah.
Okay, what was that?
It was fun. Like, I went there to, like, start the race. So when
did
I
was shoot in Tokyo, you were in?
No, the one that we shot by the airport. So I was disappointed.
But it was supposed to be Tokyo.
Yeah, everybody else went. And then I shot, there was like a rapper, his name is Lil Bow Wow, was there. And I kind of messed up my line. So I have to go back to ADR to do a voiceover for one line. And when I did it, I brought my nunchuck with me in case they wanted to see me do that. And then the director was like, oh yeah, we are shooting the martial art film and we should use you for like playing nunchuck.
So just to clarify, you brought your nunchucks to an ADR session?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready.
Some shit goes down?
Yeah.
Just for those of you that don't know, ADR stands for additional dialogue recording, which meant she went to go just record lines with her weapons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could make sense. Could be the start of a horror movie.
It's not a bad idea.
I'm going to start bringing my chucks.
People are so impressed. They love nunchuck. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, and you just do some simple stuff and they go, wow.
Yeah. Remember you did it on stage? You just like knocked down the mic sound. Like, that is really cool.
Did you get to go to like a Tokyo Drift screening and all that?
Yeah,
stuff?
I took my mom with me and it was really fun.
Did you get to meet Vin Diesel?
I didn't meet him, but everybody else on the cast. And then everybody was talking about how gay he is. And now he's married.
I heard he was gay.
Yeah, me too. So maybe it's a cover up. I don't know.
Or someone should tell his wife.
Or him.
Yeah.
Oh, FYI. So were there any interesting stories that happened while you were doing that film or at the...
Other than Vin Diesel being gay. And then not being gay. And then married.
What else was fun? That show is like, that movie to me is not that like really smart film.
Really? Tokyo, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are
you sure? Like I watched it, I was like, it's okay. Like I understand like Hollywood, like people like, you know, car spinning, but it's not like not much message or anything like that. Like the
Have you seen any of the other ones before Tokyo Drift?
Were you expecting? What were your expectations going into being in and viewing this film?
When you were like, oh, they're hiring me to do the Fast and Furious movie, I'm sure this will have a deep...
Where's my monologue?
Didn't the first one scare
you? When I saw it, I was already working for the car show, so I was like, oh, I should be in this movie. So I was sending out the energy on the universe. And then when I heard they're shooting in Tokyo Drift, I'm like, oh, they need me. So I was very certain to do that film. But yeah, I haven't seen like the movie before. And I'm like, oh, this is, you know, just popcorn eating film. No depth to it. Like, I like foreign film, like My Life as a Dog, or like...
They're
I
exact like... same genre. Yeah. Yeah. Our foreign films are the same. Yeah. Battle Royale. They're all exactly the same.
Battle Royale. Life, yeah, like Water for Chocolate. Yeah. They're all the same. They're all...
Life is Beautiful.
Basically,
Fast and the Furious with a tank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Eat, Drink, Man, Woman is the battle royale of Chinese food movies.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. So maybe we should start with what do you think the word genre means?
Yeah. And versus.
So then what other films have you worked on?
I like, no other movie, more TV stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of the TV shows you've been on?
Howard Stern. Uh-huh. I did that twice. I just sent my picture and then wrote him a letter because I'm not good with a computer. And then they call me. I was talking to me like, oh, you're really funny. Your accent is funny. You have funny story. I was like, yeah. He's like, you want to be on the show? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I did that. And the second time, I brought my mom with me. That was a mistake.
You wrote your mom on the Howard Stern
show?
Yeah,
I did.
I thought it was just like radio.
Yeah.
Like Garrison Keillor. Like, this is where their genres were getting mixed up.
Yeah.
So what, they had lesbians or something in the studio and your mom was like, what's going on? Or
that one was just radio. First one was for the TV show for E! And then second one was just radio. So I was kind of disappointed because I like being on TV. But yeah, it was chill. Mm-hmm. They just asked me a lot of questions. And Yeah.
Mostly inappropriate questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But back then I didn't speak English, so I just giggle and did my part.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I noticed when, like, the times I've done Ice House Chronicles with you,
yeah,
when Joe Rogan's there, they're always trying to get you to give advice on things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite thing to watch. They, like, set you up. Is that, like, sort of part of your act?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I give good advice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How should I diversify my 401k?
Diversify? Yeah. You got to explain to me, what does that mean?
It means versus.
Oh, okay. Oh, shoot. It's a little big word.
All right. Well, let's. What else? What else do we want to talk about?
I want to talk about. I went to Universal Halloween Horror Nights over the weekend. Cool. Oh my God, it was so much fun. I love going there every year.
Every single member of your family asked me if I would go with you guys. all your kids go, because I'm always like, I scare way too easily.
Yeah,
I can.
Our throats were sore at the end of the night from screaming. So. because Neil came with us. So
that's awesome.
And so the three of us are there. Granted, we're a little older than the demographic that's there, but it's so much fun. And because it's a movie studio, they treat everything like it's you're literally being in a movie. And
Wow. The
best maze was was American Werewolf in London. Mm. And you go in and you're at the slaughtered lamb. You're at the bar. And, you know, the bartender goes, you know, be careful of the moonlight. And you're walking through, and it's unbelievable the attention to detail. You know, you're going through a forest, and you're going through a hospital. And as you're going, you know, then a giant werewolf comes out at you.
Oh, my God.
It's absolutely terrifying.
Oh, my God.
Like, we were, like, just screaming. Because what they do is, because these mazes are dark, But because it's a movie studio, they set it up where lights, strobe, puppetry, and sound effects all come at you at the same time. So it looks like you're about to fucking get eaten by a werewolf. There's even one scene where you're walking through, but they also have actors in partial costumes. So you have like a werewolf there eating a guy, and the guy is like trying to like reach up because it's... you know, it's partially costume and partially it's an actual person.
Yeah.
And then I was walking through and Neil said at one point, too, because the puppetry was so good, Audrey and I are walking through and then Neil, like, turned around and he saw one of the werewolves, like, looked up and, like, stared at us and, like, followed, like, the eyes and stuff. Oh. Like, it's, like, it's so creepy and terrifying. And you get through it. And we're like, oh my god, that it's so much fun, but it's terrifying. You know, you get scared so effectively through the maze. The other one we went through that was really fun was Aliens versus Predator, and that was unbelievable. You go through, and you know, you go through a spaceship, and then there's people dressed as the Predator, and they like, you know, all full out, and you're in the middle, and aliens on one side, and the Predators on the other. They jump out at you. You go through a house, and there's like people cocooned. So you see a chestburster come out of a guy like right in front of you. And there's an alien like eating a person right in front of you. And it's so terrifying and disgusting, but it's like so much fun at the same time because you feel like you're literally in the movies. Like you go, this is a spoiler if you're going to go, but if you go, it's amazing. You go in like, you're outside in a forest. There's a police car, and the policeman has like a face hugger on him. And then you think, oh, well, these are just, you know, they're just dummies because they have a lot of dummies too.
Sure. Yeah.
But there's a passenger in the back seat. He has a face hugger on him. He moves. He like gets up and like tries to get out of the car like right in front of you. Like, and it terrifies you because you think, well, I didn't think that was a person.
Doing? Are they? Just, do they wig out at this? Is this too scary?
Oh, no, I don't bring kids. No. That's this is the type of thing that. You can't bring kids to. It's literally like teenager and above because it's terrifying.
Right.
And it's not even like just in the mazes. Like when you walk through the park, like they have what are called scare zones. Like you go through the Purge scare zone and they're chasing you with axes and chainsaws.
You would love this, Ike. You need to do this.
But it's not even just like they come at you. Yeah. Like they sneak up on you from behind. Like if you're walking and somebody will be behind you and they'll just like go right in front of you with like a chainsaw or like an axe or something. It's terrifying. Even when you're just walking from place to place, there was a zombie that followed my wife and she was getting absolutely hysterical. Because what they do is they get near and then they're like, well, because normally they would go away, but this guy just stayed with her and just kept walking. She's like, go away. and if you there's great Walking Dead stuff, and it was so much fun. There was even like From Dusk Till Dawn, there was a maze where you go in and there's like the strippers dancing with the snakes, and then they turn into vampires and scare the shit out of you as the maze progresses. But it's one of those things where you take this family theme park and all of a sudden it goes way adult for like at night, and but it's the closest thing. If you're a horror movie fan, this is why I bring it up on the show, is because you'll never get to be in, like literally with all the terror, into a horror movie the way you will at these, you know, because there's haunted houses everywhere. You get to be in the horror movie, but you know, there with Halloween, there's you know, mazes and haunted houses everywhere. But what's amazing about Universal is they're based on movie properties. Right. That's what makes it so great and fun, is that, you know, you get to be in American Werewolf in London. You get to be in Aliens versus Predator. And it was just really fun. I really recommend it if you're near Orlando or Hollywood, check it out. And don't bring your kids. Don't be an asshole and bring your kids. Every once in a while, we see a kid there. In fact, even when you're on the tram, because the tram drops you off in the middle of it like a zombie-infested back lot, they go, if you have kids, make sure they're not on the edge of the tram. And if you do have kids, just know we're all judging you from bringing them here tonight. Because it's not – I mean, I wouldn't bring a kid probably younger than like 14 or 15 there. It's that disgusting and terrifying and gory. And, you know, there's like that – you remember in American Werewolf in London, that fantasy sequence? Yeah. You are in the middle of that, and you see a guy's throat get slashed right in front of you. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, you're afraid to, like, walk certain areas because guys just come out.
Can they touch you?
No. There's, like, strict rules where they don't. Oh, but good. They get really close. Like, literally, like, they'll go like that, or, like, there'll be a knife or something, like, right right next to you. And the way the mazes are designed is there's all these corners and hidden doors and panels that they just come out at you from wherever. You'd never even know where they were coming from.
I would love to see your wife going, "Stop following me!"
Yeah. It was pretty funny. And then I'm laughing and, you know, we're scared. And then she's like, "It's not funny." And then, but it's really, really fun. We have a blast every time. And then at the end, you're like spent because it's like all the adrenaline rush of like being scared. And because, you know, my wife, she grew up watching horror movies. She loves horror movies. And, but that's different than actually them actually coming out at you. Yeah. So, but it's really fun. We're going to go every year now.
All right. So coming out on DVD, speaking of which.
Deliver Us from Evil. It's another one of these horror movies that we didn't see. I don't even think Neil saw this one. But this is one of those horror movies that has a really interesting premise. I mean, you know, it says it's loosely based on a, you know, true story, sort of. But go ahead if you have the description.
Yeah, it's Eric Bana's in it. It was one of those trailers that actually seemed somewhat interesting. It might just be because Eric Bana's a compelling actor.
Yes.
But it is.
When he isn't the Hulk.
When he isn't the Hulk. you'll never forgive him for that, will you?
No. No, I don't even blame him. Yeah.
That's so great. But yeah, this is based on a true story, it was the one trailer we've talked about this before. The horror genre just keeps making the same film and the same trailer. Mm-hmm. This was the one that looked could be kind of interesting, but I don't know. We'll see.
So let us know if you saw it, actually, because this, like I said, it had a compelling premise. It's a policeman starts to question this case that looks like it has supernatural elements, and he teams up with a priest to try to solve it.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Mm.
Based on a true story. Very X-Files-y.
Yeah.
So next movie is Begin Again.
This is the film I remember. I saw it in the theaters with Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo. And this is a great little film, you know. And Mark Ruffalo plays like a music exec who's kind of screwed up a little bit and meets her. And it's a cool little movie. It was definitely, I think it had a very limited release. So if you missed it, this is not a bad film to watch.
Cool. And the other movie is Wish I Was Here. This is the Zach Braff Kickstarter movie. I haven't had a chance to see this yet. I was excited about it. I did enjoy Garden State. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a semi-sequel-ish kind of thing. Kind of hits the same some of the same notes.
And this is one of these movies I really wanted to see in the theater because I was glad his Kickstarter funded.
Yes.
It just fell through the cracks. And so
we've been a little busy. Occasionally we can miss a few movies.
But this is, I'm glad it's on DVD because I wanted to watch this.
Okay.
And let us know if anyone else saw it.
Now, premiering this week, Nightcrawler. This is the Jake Gyllenhaal movie that looks fantastic. I'm really excited to see this movie. This is a great example of where you have a guy that it's like this guy is really off, but you still kind of root for him and he's compelling to watch. He can't get a job, and then he starts to explore, maybe I could take photographs or video at a crime scene, and if I get there first, I could scoop it. And then, of course, it all becomes like, well, wait, one more step. Now I've become part of the crime scene. Mm. And it's that kind of progression that's really fun for a thriller.
You know, it's Dan Gilroy. It's his first time directing. So he's written some stuff, and I'm curious to see how this movie goes because Dan Gilroy wrote it and directed it. It looks like this could be a Jake Gyllenhaal Oscar shot in terms of what you just described, how you're rooting for this guy that there's something wrong with him. But I'm excited to see it. I like Jake Gyllenhaal.
It looks like a really cool character, too. He's trying to do the right thing, but inherently he's deviant.
Yeah.
And now maybe I could make money just being me. And
yeah.
Gets further and further along. And that was compelling. It's a great trailer, too. Maybe, you know what? I think we should show this trailer at in Portland, I think.
Oh, let's
why don't we
do
bring
that.
This one?
Let's bring this one with us. Let's put a little DX by this thing.
Next one is Before I Go to Sleep. This movie does not look compelling, and it's a shame because I love Nicole Kidman. But this really looks like a Memento knockoff where it's don't trust anyone. She loses her memory every day. Like, you know, she goes through the day and then she loses that. Every day she wakes up, she has no memory of, you know, what happened previously. So it's a mystery. You have to solve kind of what was going on, what was her past like, why, you know, what happened to her. But we've seen it. I mean, we've yeah. seen this premise. We've seen this movie before. So there's nothing really, even in the trailer, that made me think, oh, this looks fresher, interesting. So I'm not, yeah, I'm not really a...
It wrote 28 Weeks Later in The American. You know, he's directed a couple of TV movies and stuff.
Doesn't interest me. Yeah.
We'll see. But I'm glad we're kind of... I keep saying it, we're like... It's like, let's go Oscar season. Let's get into it.
You know what? We keep saying it, but I don't know. It's been slow to get started really this year. Slow. It really has.
I don't know if they're all just stacking them up for November and December.
I don't know. I looked at the release schedule, but here's the thing about the release schedule. As we get through December, it gets light. Like, there are slots available that people, the studios may start, depending on when stuff gets finished. They may slide them in towards the end of the
year. Just to rush
year.
It to get it in before the end of the year. Possibly, so they qualify? Yeah,
exactly. So, because I'm looking at the schedule, I'm like, well, you know, a couple more movies could definitely release in this window, but nothing's announced. So I don't know.
Interesting.
We'll see. Especially for like a limited release in New York and LA. So, but we'll talk about that more on Sunday.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, on Sunday night in Portland.
What are you excited to see, Eiko?
This year?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nothing jumping out at you?
Yeah, I'm excited to see my friend. She just shot for the Game of Thrones. So that's really exciting. She was on the film The Whale Rider.
What's her name?
Keisha Hugh. I don't know her last name. Castle. She was like the youngest kid. Do you remember the movie Whale Rider?
Yeah.
It's based in Australia or something. And then she was a child actor and then moved here and stayed with us. I found her roommate on Craigslist. And
Whale Rider. Keisha Castle Hughes.
Yeah, so she booked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Keisha that'd be really exciting.
Let me write this. Okay, cool. Are you excited to see Interstellar?
What is that?
Christopher Nolan's new film.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, there's Game of Thrones, and she also has Queen of Carthage and Million Dollar Mate. Interesting. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, I know this actress.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in Red Dog.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
A lot going on right now.
A lot going on.
Movie is in, earbuds is in post. Everything's mm-hmm. moving forward with that. We're looking forward to the show on Sunday. We've got the November 15th show. And a lot of Dana Gould shirts going out.
A lot of
and
Dana Gould business.
I don't know if we announced it on the program, but we also added Dana Gould beverage koozies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For only $3.50 more, you could actually add it to your t-shirt order, and it says the Dana Gould Hour.
Yeah, we got the Dana Gould Hour shirts and the Bevilacqua heating and cooling shirts. Mm-hmm. So, Eiko, where can people find you on the internet?
Live shows? I'm on Twitter. It's under my name. AIKOTNAKA, and Instagram is Golden China.
Why Golden China?
I went to a restaurant in Ventura, and then this restaurant was kind of racist, and I found it was so funny.
How was it racist?
There was like it was like a Japanese theme, and everything was like mixed, you know, like built by white people, and like one room has like a rave party and then like Chinese food. I'm like, this place is insane, just like my brain. So I kept it.
Golden China.
Yeah.
So just any Asian anything was what.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Which movie is like the good one we should be watching? Like, should I be watching this
Interstellar?
Year?
Interstellar. Yeah,
that looks really.
I would enjoy it.
If you like.
And Horrible Bosses too.
Really?
No.
I don't even fuck with that movie.
It's interesting. That's the one you heard of instead of Interstellar.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Where do you have any live shows coming up that people can go check out?
Yes, or? I'm at John Lovitz sometime this week, and I'm at the Comedy Store a lot. Uh-huh. So
all right.
When are you at John Lovitz?
Friday, maybe?
Okay.
Saturday, yeah, cool. Around there. Weekend?
This will go on today, this show.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, if you're in LA, guys, check her out at Eiko Tanaka. So yes, guys, as we said, November 2nd, Portland, Oregon, Helium Comedy Club. November 15th, in
Inside Jokes.
Inside Jokes in Hollywood. Get your tickets for that. And then I will be in Tampa with Doug Benson November 20th and the 23rd, I believe, doing a stand-up show and Doug Loves Movies. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to announce that. So, yeah, maybe I'll be. And then headlining in Honolulu, Hawaii.
That's December so cool.
6th. Oh, that'll be fun.
That's a fun show.
Same place, Hawaiian Brian's,
yeah,
right?
Hawaiian Brian's in the Crossroads room where we did the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, intimate space. James Mane, of course.
Is he going to open for you?
He's going to open for it. And, you know, he's putting the rest of the show together. So I'll be there surfing that whole week. So come celebrate.
You can't go wrong, really.
Yeah, come on. Come out and celebrate Pearl Harbor Day with me.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So, yeah, December 6th. And then, of course, December 11th, we will be in Oklahoma City.
Yes.
Doing stand-up and live comedy film nerds on the same night, back-to-back.
That'll be great. And a guest to be determined.
Guest to be determined. So check that out, guys, and follow us on the Facebooks.
So, if there are any great Oklahoma City local performers you would love to see in that show, email us.
Yeah,
and we will put them on the list.
Also, we're just handing out comps to local comics.
Oh, no.
No, we're not.
Well, for a stand-up show, we want to put a couple local acts on, right?
Yeah, we'll see, man. Let's go. We'll talk about the booking on our own time, Chris. How about we do that? This opening up to a casting call in Oklahoma City.
Oh, it's Oklahoma City. How many comics could there be?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot, Chris. I've actually been there. So.
All right, you're going to get 3 emails.
No. So local Oklahoma City comics, buy your tickets to the show on the December 11th, and Chris and I will bring other people to perform there. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Follow us and write nice things on the internet, as always.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing we wanted to mention, too, is like a lot of people are asking, like, hey, how can we help out the show? But I'm kind of broke. So, hey, no problem. We understand. There's plenty of free things you guys can do to help the show get more people to subscribe. Great reviews on iTunes. And even stuff you may not think of, like going on Amazon and giving the book a good review. Mm-hmm. Like, that's also how people find us. Or giving Pacify Me a good review, or Graham CD. All that stuff helps, and it drives people to the show. So, and that costs you nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do it. And then, you know, watch a bunch of violent movies like Iko. Yeah. all right. Thank you once again to our guest, Iko Tanaka. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first.